Red Line.
The European Union has agreed to not prolong its sanctions against top Belarusian officials, including the country's leader, Alexander Lukashenko, who is now being welcomed by Brussels despite once having been dubbed the last dictator in Europe. This is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, analyzing the most thought-provoking publications of the week. An article entitled, EU Agrees to Drop Most Sanctions Against Belarus, written by Christian Oliver and carried by the Financial Times, the author reported that EU foreign ministers meeting in Brussels said that they would not renew sanctions against 170 individuals and three large Belarusian companies. An arms embargo will remain in place, however, as will restrictive measures leveled against four individuals involved in the disappearance of two opposition politicians, a businessman, and a journalist. He then goes on to quote Ms. Federica Mogherini, the EU's foreign policy chief, who said that this is clearly not a rosy or perfect picture. Far from that. That was the general assessment of all the ministers. But we agreed on a critical engagement, where some might underline more the critical and some might underline more the engagement.
I think that the question of sanctions and pressure, international pressure, which was put on Belarus, this is one of the sagas of current geopolitics, and all started long before current leadership in Brussels and Obama administration. Few people know that offending description of President Lukashenko as the last dictator of Europe was coined by Donald Rumsfeld. So that was long ago, before President Obama. And this week, we've seen a turning point in the whole story of that trying to teach Belarus a lecture of democracy. Actually, European Union scrapped most of the sanctions which were imposed on President Lukashenko and a big group of top-ranking Belarus officials. From my point of view, what is important that if we look at just the sanction war, that during that time, Belarus didn't change much. I don't see any major changes in the political system of Belarus, in how it is handling its opposition. I have not seen Belarus ceding its sovereignty in decision-making, though probably they were finding themselves just in difficult times, the economy, to keep it afloat. That was really a challenge for President Lukashenko, but he managed to do that. And at the same time, we've seen that he was not antagonized to extend that, to build his country as a citadel. We've seen his positive role in Minsk agreements reached on Ukrainian crisis. We'll see him making another conciliatory moves. And let us not forget that he is one of Russia's closest allies at the post-Soviet space. So all in all, if we look at the situation, from my point of view, it's interesting that while it has obviously a Belarus dimension, the lesson of it is that it shows that the sanction policy doesn't work, simply doesn't work. And it will not work with Russia as well. This is my point.
Yeah, you're definitely right about it. My personal view is it's, rhetorical victory. Sanctions are wrong. But I do question the geopolitical implications, because if Belarus is moving left and right, east and west, could it be troublesome in the future? But that's why we have a very important guest in the studio to discuss this issue with us. So that's Mr. Kirill Kokhtish, and he's an associate professor at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations. So what is your assessment of the lifting of sanctions? Was it surprising? And what are the motivations, given that not much has changed domestically in Belarus since the sanctions were first implemented?
Actually, it was long ago predictable. The matter is that the most important thing is that sanctions were lifted on the conditions of Minsk, not conditions of Brussels, because Brussels put 12 conditions on which sanctions could be lifted. And only one condition was fulfilled by Lukashenko. The other 11 never were fulfilled. But nevertheless, sanctions were lifted. So that means that Brussels admitted that, first of all, policy was wrong. His demands were wrong as well. And because actually it's not victory of Brussels, but victory of Lukashenko. So how it happened? When Ukraine starts, of course, political reasons were the primary. When Ukraine crisis started, on a certain moment, it was quite obvious that not possible any long to call Ukraine a democracy and to call Belarus to be a dictatorship, because conductions of the regime are incompatible in both cases. So if Brussels is forced to call Ukraine democracy, to call Kyiv regime to be a democracy. At least, after all, it has not to call Belarus to be a dictatorship anymore. And this was the start of the movement. The second agreement was that Lukashenko, of course, was quite important dealer for the negotiations about Ukraine. And really, he met with top European politicians like Angela Merkel, like François Hollande, and the ex-foreign commissar of the European Union, Catherine Ashton. So, after the visit in Minsk, after they speak with Lukashenko, it's not possible to tell that he's in isolation anymore, because he is a welcome guest. And the third reason also is quite important, that actually sanctions have the different results that they were aimed at. Because in 1999, when sanctions were first time imposed, the aim was to create pro-Western part, pro-Western elites that would be insulted by sanctions, that would bring Belarus into Western directions. But instead of this, the inability to keep money abroad resulted into the fact that all Belarusian elites are keeping money inside Belarus. So it will be a phenomenon when European Union sanctions helped Belarus, helped Lukashenko to brought up the patriotic elite, the motherland-orientated elites. So all three results, all three reasons made the prolongations of sanctions obsolete and counterproductive. So this development was long predictable, and the only headache for Brussels was not to do this into one step. Mm-hmm. Not to create into triumph of Lukashenko, but convert that into bureaucratic actions.
Kind of step by step, right?
Step by step, and 3 months ago the sanctions were just suspended. Now they're lifted, but the rest of the sanctions would be kept probably for one more year. So this is a process which is not possible.
Yeah.
Not to give Lukashenko, not to give the others the reason to think that Brussels has lost and Lukashenko should celebrate.
this is very interesting. Thanks for sharing that with us. You know, we have another guest on the line that's going to shed some more insight in this with us, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of a crosstalk, and that's Mr. Vyacheslav Pozniak. He's coordinator of the Wider Europe program from Minsk.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Pozniak. How are you this morning?
I'm just fine. Thanks. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for coming on to our program. So can you tell us more about the geopolitical implications of the sanctions lifting and how this relates to the EU strategy and also what Russia might be thinking right now in terms of this new Cold War competition? What's your take on all of this?
Well, exactly. I agree that this is sort of a new Cold War competition. I would term it rather to be a new tug of war. Because each thaw in Belarus-EU relations is, in fact, an overt and covert tug of war between Brussels and Moscow. It is a tug of war for influence. It is, on the one hand, Moscow does not want to cede any control to Brussels, and Brussels hopes that by somehow seducing Minsk into greater cooperation, it can acquire a split and rift between Minsk and Moscow, and Moscow's positions could be somehow limited or diminished. So geopolitically, I think there is a renewed competition, and the stakes are probably a little bit higher than they used to be. We can see such things as the role of Minsk has changed, because it does not only demonstrate its relative and symbolic autonomy in external political action, but Minsk is much more vulnerable than it used to be in the face of the new challenges which have been caused by Western sanctions against Russia. Minsk is very much concerned that sanctions against Russia may hit it very strongly. And Belarus is worried, its leadership is very much worried that it may fall prey to Russian ambitions if eventually it may be forced to make a hard choice between the East and the West. So the balancing act continues. The worries and the woes of Belarus are very much connected with the domestic situation. And living and sitting here in Minsk is very interesting, and still it's a matter of great concern to watch the declarations and actions of Lukashenko and his team in recent months.
Red Line.
Well, Vyacheslav, just to think, well, in my opinion, I do not see the battle of powers. I see competitions of weakness, as Belarusian situation regards. That means that Brussels and Moscow, well, the lift of the sanctions over Belarus was not in order to put the competition between, well, Moscow and Washington, because actually there is no competition between Moscow and Brussels, to make this competition in the next row. Actually, it was the action and the hope that Belarus could be a territory that can maintain relations between Brussels and Moscow. For example, if you'll take the only one thing that due to the sanctions, first of all, German companies lost approximately more than $100 billion of turnout on trade of Russia. Now, when the sanctions are lifted and Belarus is welcoming European Union, the matter of relocation of enterprises into Belarus could be discussed, because these companies really do need to keep their presence on the Russian market, not to present their share to China. So it's all the moment is not the confrontation. I mean that both Moscow and Brussels are interested that that Minsk can play the role of the subject of the responsible politics, but not of the balancing and also of the taking part of these on that side. Because actually Europe now itself is founded itself quite unpleasantly to be priced in the competition between United States, Russia and China, but not as a subject that can actually promote, can realize and can lobby its own interests.
I would argue on that point. This may be some simplification of a multi-level game. And I would first add a few words about the domestic level. Lukashenko is concerned again about his position in power. And his meetings with the power bloc, the MVD, the army, and KGB chiefs show that he wants a stronger control over the domestic situation. And the reserve force mobilization that he wants to check also pointing to this the direction. Economically, Belarus is extremely vulnerable. There are protests mounting on the side of entrepreneurs, and there is a growing unemployment, discontent in public opinion, so he has to think twice or thrice about what to do. But I think we should not put economic considerations, well, like putting the cart before the horse. I think before the European Union could go into great lengths in putting investments and putting businesses and enterprises into Belarus to make it a bridge and a replacement for relations with Russia instead of sanctions, I think the political decisions have to be made. And this is geopolitics. The European Union is not going to be fooled yet another time, and the economic influx into Belarus may be done only conditionally. So this conditionality is what matters for me most importantly. As for Russia, Russia is watching with suspicion, I think, and therefore I'm saying that bonuses and preferences on both sides would depend on this very uncertain and very unpredictable and dangerous decisions on the part of Belarus.
Yeah, we're going to have to see where this all unfolds, but I want to thank you very much for joining our program. This has been a very fruitful discussion. We've had two high-level experts discussing this, and I know that our audience does not know that much about Belarus.
Very heated debate we had.
Yes, but after these 15 minutes, they know so much, and they have so many many new points for research. So I want to thank you, Mr. Pozniak, for coming on to the program. And
my pleasure.
Thank you very much. And since we're wrapping up our second section about the lifting of EU sanctions in Belarus, I'd like to also thank our in-studio guest, Mr. Kirill Koktish, Associate Professor at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations, and once more thank our guest that was on the line, Mr. Vyacheslav Pozniak. He's coordinator of the Wider Europe Program from Minsk. Following in our program, we have Hossein Dehan to Russia for arms. Stay with us.